This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay, just trying to help you. So when do you begin your fast again?
6 a.m.
6 a.m.? You sure? Yeah, don't let my facial expressions or my infrared pointing at sunset. Yeah, we got to be sure what was right. Exactly. It's sunrise, right? So basically, when you see on your adhan clock, you see when it says Fajr time. When the time comes in is when you start your what?
Fast.
Mind you, we're going to cover this in prayer, but you're going to see something called shuruq. It's basically S-H-U-R-U-Q, or it's an Arabic word, yani, that means basically when the sun has fully risen, okay? That is going to be roughly around this time. It's not here. Well, it'll be, you know, around roughly that time. Yeah, that's why they put it there, actually, for you to see. There's a time that is prohibited to pray in general after the Fajr prayer. We're going to talk about it. Don't worry. We're going to talk about it. But yes, this is when you start your fast, generically speaking. This is when you start your fast, all right? And when you break your fast, Zach?
Sunset, 6 p.m.
Sunset, 6 p.m. When you fast, what do you abstain from? Lisandra.
When you start your fast?
No, you're fasting from what?
From what?
Mm-hmm.
From many things. So from water, food, like logistically, food.
That's it. Now, we don't say.
Go ahead. Heard that when you're mean to someone, that breaks your fast.
Okay, good. Relate, narration or whatever, what was mentioned to you. Okay, so generically speaking, eating, drinking, and intimacy. Okay, everyone here is, okay, adults here. Okay, so we're talking about what you mentioned. If it's an action that is of bad manners, it does not break your fast. So that was incorrect, whoever told you that. It's very incorrect. And the reason I'm stressing it is very incorrect because, especially to a new Muslim, if someone is saying, what exactly did they say, whoever told you? What did they say? I want to make sure I don't.
Like if you yell at someone out of anger or something like that. Mm-hmm.
Very incorrect. Whoever told you that was wrong. And I mean to be very stern on that, because especially for a new Muslim, and this is why I take it into high importance that we make an effort, Muslim seasoned Muslims in mosques, to teach new Muslims, because you're coming into a community of different nationalities, different experiences, different ways of expressing oneself, but there's one thing that unites us, and that is what we're learning now. And you don't want to be a new Muslim and, you know, you come in the house and your mom yells at you, Ashley. She says, take that thing off, right? Like, mom, please. My fast is broken. I got to make it up. But I have a job. I have a child. I have this. You have to make a fast up because someone told you just wrong information. No, it doesn't break your fast. Okay? So what you abstain from? Eating, drinking, intimacy, okay? Now, that's what's very important for us to know, what breaks the fast. So here when we're talking about during the day, that's what you abstain from. At night, those three things you can indulge upon, okay? As soon as the adhan is called. Now remember we talked about, what did we talk about when we mentioned the time for the prayer and the time that you may see on the clock? So for instance, you'll see Fajr come in on your clock, it'll say 6:36. But then you go to the mosque and it says 6:45. What's the difference, Zach?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
So for instance, let me give you an example here. All right, my adhan app, right now it says, Fajr, 6:31. Okay, I'm an imam at a mosque up the street in the at Coppell. The prayer we pray at 6:45. Why does this say 6:31 and my mosque is 6:35? Is my community incorrect or is the Adhan app incorrect?
Neither.
Explain.
You're still in that time period where you can pray.
Okay. So why did we choose a different time at 6:45? Why don't we just choose 6:31?
No.
The what?
The call to prayer before.
What did you say before? The what?
Adhan.
Good. But just make it that, like you say, the car, the place, Adhan. Try it again.
Adhan.
Good. Say it. Adhan.
Adhan.
Adhan. Everyone, Adhan. Adhan. So if you walk in the mosque, you say, did they call the Adhan yet? That means, has the prayer come in? Say you're on your way, you're on 6:35, and you need to go to Fort Worth. And you want to make the prayer real quick, because by the time you get to Fort Worth, you got things to do. So you come in the mosque, and you see a sister. You ask, have they called thee yet? Yes, they just called it. You can go ahead and bust, do your prayer. You do your prayer and go. But the 6:45, who knows why, before I answer. Why do... Yeah, it's logistical. It's logistical.
A little extra time.
So we can get Dallas ready, right? Get in the car, get to the mosque. We want to make sure that we pray in congregation, so let's give people time, right? If you're by yourself, it's best to pray when it comes in. 6:31, you go make wudu, 6:33, bismillah. That's the best way to do it. From the time perspective. But if you want to pray in congregation, which you receive many more blessings for, right, then you can come here at 6:36, come here, sit, pray, and we're going to talk about praying some extra prayers, which is recommended, right? And then you sit and wait, which is recommended as well. You're in the mosque, which is a beautiful thing, waiting for prayer, which is another beautiful thing. Then you pray with congregation, which is the beautifulest thing, right? Okay, so now talking about this verse. Who has reached that verse? Bismillah. Can you read, please?
You were required to fast for a prescribed number of days.
Mm-hmm.
But if any one of you is sick or is on a journey, he shall fast to make up the prescribed number in other days.
Okay, stop right there, please. I'm going to stop you every now and then. Okay? So as you mentioned, the first thing is that ayyamim ma'dudas, that they are prescribed number of days, all right? So here it's talking about that fasting that we do now is the prescribed number of days. Remember our first lesson, we said that fasting was in the what before us? Fasting was prescribed in the nations before us. So fasting is not an unusual thing when you speak to a Christian, when you speak to a Jew. Fasting is not going to be unusual, right? Now, the amount of days is what may be different for them. And that's where the Quran says, prescribed number of days, right? And then after that, she mentioned
sick. Is on a journey,
mm-hmm.
Fast,
and that's what we talked about last week, which I will show you here. So in this verse, just remember these verses, 2:184, 2:185, roughly. We're going to cover 2:185 as well. These are the verses that talk about Ramadan from a legislative perspective. Generally, okay? So it's going to be upon you guys, as you are here learning your religion, and this is something, please do not take this lightly. Those of your friends that were hesitant on coming, please encourage them to come, all right? Because now you're going to go home, you're going to read this, hopefully you'll go home and read this verse and ponder over it, right? And understand certain things, and then come back and ask me questions, right? So this verse and the next verse is paramount in understanding the foundation, the seed, the origin of the month of Ramadan, along with other verses, okay? But primarily these couple of verses. So here now she mentions the scenario of a traveler or a sick person. There are some excuses for certain types of people. We covered that last week. We're going to go over. So here, this is what we wanted to show you last week. I didn't have my laptop, but here, this is the verse that she just read. Fasting is on a limited number of days. So whoever among you is ill or on a journey, then an equal number of days are made. They should make up. So here it says, and upon those who are able to fast, a ransom should be given to a feeding, or of feeding a poor person each day. Right? So this was early in the legislation that a person that was able to, it was preferable for them to fast, but if they could not or didn't want to, then they could feed a poor person. Okay? So those kinds of people generally are the elderly, right? They make it up by feeding a poor person. The elderly, or someone that carries the same characteristic as an elderly person, such as a young person that is in dialysis. It's a chronic illness that will not allow them to fast. It would be more detrimental to their health than what? Than beneficial, right? So Allah is saying here, you know what? You have a similar characteristic to a person that is elderly, that because of their age, their condition, they're not able to fast. So the way you would make it up is by feeding a poor person. Do they make it up? No. But how do they do it? They feed a poor person per day missed. Has everyone got that? This is what we covered last week generally, okay?
I have a question.
Yes.
What if they don't have the money for
it? Say it again?
What if they don't have the money or the means necessary to feed?
If they don't have the money or the means necessary to feed that poor person, someone, inshallah, can help them in those regards, right? And if there's no possible way to do so in that regard, then inshallah, they will be forgiven for that. Or they only say forgiven, it's not a sin if they don't have the financial stability to do so. Right, you mean obviously they would be poor, meaning what?
The person that is elderly or sick.
If the person that was elderly or sick, right, they would be poor. They would be probably fed themselves, right?
Yeah.
So, right, yeah, inshallah. Okay, does anyone have anyone else have any question?
I was told that you could just feed another person that's fasting, not necessarily have to be poor.
No, it's preferable to feed poor people. To feed a person that is not able to suffice themselves. And again, it goes back to the spirit, right? The spirit is to help someone. As we will learn in the Eid, in the last day of Ramadan, it is obligatory. That's why they call it Zakat al-Fitr. Fitr means to break something or to to open something, which is allowing someone to, giving them food by them breaking their fast, or giving it to some poor person that is not able to fast and feed, but they're poor. The characteristic is poor. So here again, we talked about this roughly, and whoever volunteers excess, it's better for him to fast. So we'll see here that it's better for the person that is able to fast to fast. All right? It goes a little more in depth. We'll cover that later in regards to what is called abrogation. In any case, so looking at these characteristics, we talked about this last week roughly. We can go over it again, inshallah, but I want to make sure that we move along, inshallah. We can go back to it. I think, yes. Yeah. No. Very good. Break fast, it really shouldn't be break fast, because that could be understood. It means that you do not have to fast that day.
Oh.
Right? Yes. Say we're in the third day of Ramadan right now. We're fasting. Tomorrow, you know you're going to Houston.
Okay.
When you wake up, you can have your cereal or whatever. Yeah, it's fine. Right, Dallas? Okay. All right. So this is what we talked about. So that's what we mean generally from these types of people, which we will cover a little more, inshallah ta'ala. Does anyone have any questions regarding this? We'll go over more. Okay. So whoever sights the moon Sabina, can you read, please?
So whoever recites the meaning of the month, let him fast.
Mm-hmm.
Let him fast it, and whoever is ill or on a journey, then an equal number of other days.
Okay, so the first part before the semicolon here, what does this generally talk about? We talked about this. The beginning of the month of Ramadan. How do we, in Islam, detect the beginning of a month? Zach?
The moon.
The moon. So we follow which calendar?
The lunar
calendar, right? So we detect the beginning of the month of Ramadan by?
The
moon. But how?
The crescent
moon. Right. If you see it, you know. Now, that's where we said there may be some difference. Seeing with your naked eye or with?
Tools.
With calculations. And this is where the debate, I want to say argue, but the debate will come in. Because, Lissandra. Lissandra, you know, Selena will call up and say, Assalamu alaikum, how are you doing? Did you go to class today? Yeah, great. Okay, so are you fasting tomorrow? Yeah, I'm fasting tomorrow. You're fasting tomorrow? Why? No, the individuals in my mosque, we already knew we were going to fast like a year ago. What? My imam said, no, we have to wait here. We're sitting here right now, right before the Maghrib prayer to see the moon. And you're like, well, good for you. Okay? Either way is fine. You're going to run into this. Do not split hairs over this. Do not, you know, Selene left the WhatsApp group. Don't do any of that stuff, okay? None of that stuff, okay? It's just a simple difference of opinion amongst scholars. Amongst who?
Scholars.
Amongst who?
Scholars.
One more time.
Scholars.
That's fine. Yes?
Is there a certain time frame to make up the fast, or that's
something you get? The whole year, the rest of the 11 months. Okay, so here we have, that's very important, because the law says, if whoever you see the moon, then fast. So whoever sees the moon, then fast. Now, it'll get a little more specific. What kinds of people are allowed to and how many? Inshallah, that's something we can talk about a little later. But most importantly, well, initially speaking, it's not for any Muslim just to go out and cite it. It should be someone that has knowledge and that is known for their knowledge and generally their piety, for lack of better words, okay? Not better words, that is the word, their knowledge and piety, okay? Generically speaking, an imam of a mosque or someone that has knowledge to go out there and watch it with them. And then also maintaining the culture and seeing the nature of Allah and just seeing the beauty of it, right? Okay, so that's very, very important that we talked about here, okay? And whoever is ill or on a journey, again, someone that is ill, then they can make their days up later, inshallah ta'ala. Then an equal number of days. So the days that you miss are the days that you should? What?
Make up.
Now, this is important for us because sometimes we will be stressed out. There may be sisters that are pregnant. There may be sisters that have caught COVID, right? And the COVID has lasted, and they're in the ICU, and they really want to fast. And then 3 months after Ramadan, Allah has cured them. Went on for a while. Okay? Can you read this, please? Selene. Okay. Okay, so the first thing is, Allah intends for you ease and does not intend for you what? Hardship. That is an important principle for us in regards to Islam. Who understands what I mean by that? Other obligatory things. Man, why do I have to? Allah knows that I am not a morning person, Zach. Why does he make it obligatory for me to pray at 6:45 in the morning, man? Like before the sun rises. Didn't Allah, like, We need light, right, in order to see. So Allah created the sun as light for me to see, to get up and find my sink and to pray and all that good stuff. So why do I have to pray before the sun comes up? Or like, you know, the sun, it's sun rising, but when the sun rises, it's not out yet, right? It's still dark outside, somewhat. Y'all with me? So why did Allah make that difficult for me? There are going to be things in your life, especially as a convert, dealing with your non-Muslim parents, your friends that you grew up with so many years, and then when you become a Muslim, they act like they don't know you. Okay? You are the weird one. God, why, if I'm coming closer to you, you're making it more difficult for me? Right? These are questions that's going to take, you're human. It's going to happen. But there are a couple of principles here that's important for us to know. That it's important within your journey of faith and your journey of conviction, you are going to face what?
Hardship.
When you get a job, the first orientation period, you may run into people that don't like you because you're not part of the clique. You may be more skilled than them, and they don't like that because they're of an age, you know, you may coming in young, fresh, you're making less money, you're a threat to them. So you may face certain hardships, right? So that's the same situation somewhat in this case. You are doing something that is very weird to them, and they're going to look and act as though you are weird. You're human. You're going to feel, okay, am I doing the right thing here? But that conviction that you had in your heart once you heard that message of Islam, do not leave that. Do not. Because if you feel in your heart that God wanted this for me, and you feel that it's true, that is the test. That is a conviction. And nothing becomes strong except through turbulence. There is no way one can become strong except through some kind of resistance or turbulence. Have any of y'all studied for a test and it was so hard, but then you passed it and you're like, oh, you feel good. You feel good that you passed it, but then you look at all that hard work that it took. Like, man, I really got through this. Right? Time and time again, I've heard non-Muslim parents. Those are the parents that have embraced Islam with their children, and those that, such as my mom, have not embraced Islam yet. But they respect and admire the fact that I left off what I was doing to come and show glory to God. I don't agree with your way, son, of you showing glory to God and all that stuff, but I respect it. Some of them, they won't respect it. But what Allah wants for you is, He intends for you ease. When He does five times a day, prayer five times a day, when He wants us to get married and not date for 5 years, right, to get married, okay, when He wants us to do that, He wants ease for you. He intends for you ease. It may not, yes, ma'am. Of course.
You leave, like, you're the way you were, you're dressing, some family stay away, some friends leave you. So you leave so much. Mm-hmm. So why is that right? Like, when do you find the ease?
Well, because wouldn't it just be, it would just be a test. It's testing you to see, you know, how faithful you are, how dedicated you are to the religion. Mm-hmm. And then from that, with patience and the willpower to continue it, there's going to be that moment where everything around you, you stop and you sit back and you look at everything and you're like, everything that I went through, all the people that I lost, they weren't right for me. Everything that's around me now, I'm living a good life. I'm happy. I'm not worrying about this. I'm not worrying about that. And from that, that's where the ease, that's where everything kind of takes place. That's when your mind's like, okay,
Exactly. And that hardship that you're facing, that hardship, inshallah, is going to be temporary, especially if that conviction that you have in the one, like the reason you left it off, you love that more than you love, dare I say, the relationship with that friend. It's not going to be easy. Is it? Just think about this. Is it supposed to be easy? It's not. Whenever you're truly dedicated to something, you are going to be tested on your level of what? To that thing. We know that when we think about it, but when it happens at the moment, that's the final frontier. That's the moment of truth. That is the moment of truth. And it's important, and we're gonna fall short, but you gotta remain persistent. So when we say he wants for you ease and hardship, this is important. He wants for you the ease that he knows. That he knows is ease, and the hardship that he knows is hardship, right? Not your perception of hardship. How many times have we perceived something that was so hard in our lives? After we get through that hump, we look back years later, we're like, wow, I really thought that was difficult. I really thought that was difficult. Then you say to yourself, man, I needed that difficulty in order to appreciate that thing. It, exactly. And guess what? Allah knew that the beginning, middle, and end. Allah knew that that would happen to you when you're 27. He knew that that would happen to you when you were born. He knew 27 years later, you would break up with your boyfriend or girlfriend because they don't like the fact of what you're doing in this Muslim stuff, right? And that you would become a Muslim. And then they would come around and become a Muslim later, and then y'all would get married and live happily ever after. I've heard this so many times. I've seen it so many times. So many people I know that's happened to. Not to say that the opposite hasn't happened. The opposite has happened. The opposite is happening. The opposite will forever happen, right? But it's most important, this verse is a good question, Selena. It goes back to, he wants for you the ease of what he knows is easy for you. Not what you perceive as ease. Because our intellect is complete or deficient? Deficient. We have emotions, and we know that emotion that we have of getting angry easily can be detrimental to our future, but we still do it. That shows that we're deficient, right? And we need something greater than ourselves to rely on. And when you rely on a person, your full reliance is on a person, wife, husband, doesn't matter. Priest, imam, no. Rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rely on the one that created you and brought you here. And that is the essence of tawheed. This is a good question. Anyone have any questions regarding this? This is very important regarding this theme of lordship. This verse is very important because it really tells you what God intends behind giving you this Islam. Or we say this Sharia, the five times a day, the zakat, the hijab, the marriage, in this way, even though it differs with what the majority of people are doing. Right? That's very, very important. And Allah says in the Quran also, wa kana sa'yukum mashkura, and your struggle, your continuation and movement and persistence in his path is mashkur. It is, he's thankful for that. And the way he will show thanks to you is in different ways, from your perception, your psychology, the spirituality of ease and sakina, tranquility that you feel in your heart. You know, he grants that to you, inshallah. Okay, what we're going to cover today is something very important for a lot of, I want to say, American Muslims. I'll say American Muslims. And the reason I'm saying American Muslims, or Muslims that are born and raised in America and do not know any other language, it's important for us. Who knows what this is? It's the Cave Hira, yes. The Cave Hira, H-I-R-A. Is anyone familiar with that? Yes. The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, before he was chosen to be a prophet, he was known as a righteous, trustworthy person. A righteous, they used to call him Sadiqun Amin. He was a truthful, trustworthy person. If you gave him something and you told him hold it for a certain amount of time, he would hold it and he would give it back to you. Okay? That's what he was known for. So he was even the Kaaba, the black building, there's a black stone on it. Okay? We'll learn more about it. The Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, was chosen to handle the logistics regarding the placement of the black stone because the tribes, particularly two of them, were arguing on who is going to take this black stone and place it there because it was still the Kaaba was still a righteous sanctuary even before the advent of Islam. You know, the Kaaba is the black building, okay? Because it was built by who? Abraham and his son Ismail during Abraham's time. Okay, so the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, Muhammad, he was known to be righteous and truthful. One of the things he would always do is he would go to this cave and he would worship a deity. He never worshiped more than one God. He was never a polytheist, even before the revelation came to him. There were some companions, disciples, during that time, from the Arabs, during his time. Some of them were never polytheists. They just couldn't get down with the polytheistic practices. They didn't worship idols. They always said that there's a God out there, and that's who I worship. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace and blessings be upon him, was one of them. So he used to go to this cave, and what is in Arabic, yatahannath. He would always just sit and ponder and call on God. Just sit and ponder and call on his maker. Right? When he reached the age of 40, this is when something happened. Okay? So he used to go to this cave, and he used to ponder, he used to call on the Creator, and that is when he received a revelation in the cave of what? Cave of what, everyone? Hira. Hira, right. Very good. Very good. Now, this cave is located in Mecca, Saudi Arabia. Okay? So when he was 40, that is when God chose to give him the revelation of Islam, the first revelation. Okay? That is when God chose. Now, the process of revelation, generally, it is from Allah, descends it to Jibreel, which is one of the angels, Angel Gabriel, and Angel Gabriel sends the message to the prophet or prophets. All the prophets are sent through Gabriel, sometimes directly, but primarily through Gabriel. These five verses were the first verses that were revealed to the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. Okay? Lissy.
Lissandra.
Lissandra. Can you read these verses, please?
Recite in the name of your Lord who created.
Okay, stop right there. So when the Prophet Muhammad was yatahannath, okay, when he was in the cave worshiping one God, a verse came to him. There was Angel Gabriel. It was mentioned even before this, right? Angel Gabriel came to him, and then when you read the story of it, it's mentioned, فَجَهَدَنِي فَأَرْسَلَنِي. So he kind of squeezed him and told him to read. اِقْرَأ. Everyone say it? One more time. Iqra means read. It's Arabic for read. You probably heard it before, maybe not. If not, you just heard it three times now. So, right? He told him read. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Ma ana biqari." I cannot read. I cannot read, because the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, could not read or write, as was mentioned. He could not read or write. Okay. So he was told to read, and then he said, "I cannot read." The angel Gabriel said, "Read." Second time, "I cannot read." The third time, angel Gabriel said, "Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq." Read in the name of your Lord who created. And what's interesting here, he said, "Read in the name of your Lord who what?"
Created.
That's why whenever I speak to non-Muslims, I use the word creator, me personally. Because that's an even playing field that we could. Because many times, especially sisters, when y'all come amongst your family members and you're wearing the veil, if you are, if you're not, right? But you say you're Muslim, they immediately think these kind of structures, caves and sand and camels. Let's be honest. cave, sandal, camels, I don't know, men wearing dresses, walking around with big turbans on a camel. I'm just, to be honest. Okay, thank you. Right? So that's what they think. But when they say, when you talk about God, for me, even when I heard about Islam, I was like, okay, but that's who I believed all the whole time. I believe that. I was like, okay, but what's different? I don't want you to sell anything to me. You know, it's not Amway. Are you trying to sell something to me in the end of the day? Because I just thought Islam was foreign. But the more you're talking, the more it sounds like what I've already felt, that the one that made me is the one I should be showing my appreciation to, not to a creation. That's what's so beautiful. Iqra, in the name of your Lord, who created. It's already establishing the one that I'm telling you to read in the name of is the one that created you. Who did he create? خلق الإنسان من علق. He created him from a clinging substance. And that's the name of this chapter, chapter of Alaq. Chapter number 96. Chapter 96, verse 1 through 5. Do not forget these verses. This is the first revelation that was given to him. All right? So he was told to read in the name of his Lord that created. What time is Maghrib? 7:30? 7:30. Okay? Lisandra. Yes, good, good. Okay, so keep reading. Created man from?
You created man from a clean substance. Recite, and your Lord is the most generous, who taught by the pen, taught man that which he knew.
So what do you notice here with the verses? What is he doing? So one thing he says, I'm going to give you a hint. He uses the word created. Then he does something with the verse after that. And then he says, most generous. And then he does something with the verses after that. What is he doing? Y'all can see I like to probe your brains. I like to ask. I like to make you feel uncomfortable, then feel comfortable. Because when I answer, you're like, oh, yeah, I knew that. Right? But I like to make you feel a little intimidated, which is great. Sometimes I find me make a face, you know. What is he doing? Say what's on your mind, guys. It's okay. He said, recite the name of your Lord who created. Then the verse after that, he does something. And he said, your Lord is the most generous. Then the verse after that, he does something. What?
He was establishing.
Keep going. Establishing what?
Like establishing. That's the first word that came out. I'm trying to analyze. Like establishing.
Prayer. You're almost there. That's a good verb you're using. Establishing what, though? Be a little more specific. Ashley, what'd you say? No. I gave you a hint. Created, most generous. What does he do after the verse after created and the verse after the most generous? Establishing is a good word, but fill in the rest of the blanks. Think about it.
Like he's guided. Establishing his guidance.
I'm going to give you a hint. Read in the name. Okay, Selena, read the first verse, please. Right, you're writing? Okay, go ahead. Zach, read the first verse, please. Go ahead, keep going. I didn't want to stop you in your flow. Even though I did stop you in your flow. You can reflow again. No, read the first verse.
Recite in the name of your Lord.
Give me, what do you mean created? Next verse. Oh, next verse.
Recite your Lord is the most generous.
The most generous? How is he the most generous?
Who taught by the pen.
Oh, Okay. I see where you're getting with this. What is he doing? He's giving you proofs. He's establishing his lordship through two characteristics: creation, generosity. Okay. So if we say, your Lord created, read in the name of your Lord who created. Okay, give me proof he created. He created mankind from a hanging clot. Oh, that's your God? Oh, the one that created us from a hanging clot and brought us into this world? Yeah, that's my God. Well, that's my God too. Right? Because they'll think your God is someone of the sea or a God of the desert. He has nothing to do with bringing things into existence. Well, no. We as Muslims believe that our God is the one that brought everything into existence. For example, he brought you into existence. And the way that he did it was through embryology. Hanging clot. You know what I mean by what they mean by hanging clot? Like in gestation, when a woman has a baby, first it's a blood clot hanging from the uterus.
And it says it in the Quran.
And it says in the Quran, exactly, 1400 something years ago. Then the blood clot becomes alaqa mudghah, and then it becomes a piece of flesh, and it talks about this in other chapters in the Quran. So he's just establishing a proof. He's giving you an example, establishing what he means by created. Then he's most generous. Give me proof that he's most generous. He taught you when you didn't know anything. No. My father taught me. Excuse me. My father taught me. Who taught your father? His grandfather. Who taught his grandfather? Who taught him? What is your problem? His great grandfather. This is like, are you okay? Sorry? Huh?
They really ask those questions. Have you had people that have like answered that?
Oh, yeah. People are different.
Really?
Everybody's at their stages, man. You have to appreciate it. So people are far, I don't want to say far gone. They're not, you know, in tune with God and religion. But when they entertain the conversation, because, you know, the people you talk, you know, not every person is like, you're Muslim, Zach? I've been wondering about God. No, you may be at work. You know, what were you just doing over there? I was praying. What are you, a Muslim? Oh, you believe in God of the desert? No, bro. Slow down. Right? So generous, he taught by the pen. Or who taught by the pen, taught man which he know not. So here, Allah has given you knowledge, and the way, there's very important, this may sound too specific, the pen and all this, you know, is it this pen, is it that? No. When God is talking about generosity, creation, you have to remember, in Islam, when he associates things that he does, he's getting to the core of the matter. Right? Have you ever heard someone when they get an award? All y'all just clap for me. Just clap like I received an award. I'm like I really received a reward. This is a... Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. This is a moment for me. Just give me a minute.
You need a donut? Donut break. How about you take a donut break?
No. I'm acting. Oh. She thought about it. Were you acting too? This is good. Valorant, this is great. No. So they come up, you know, they come up and everybody claps. He clap again. She messed us all up. Well, Maria, come on. Everybody clap. Dallas, we need you to clap. There we go. All right. Okay. I really appreciate you all coming here. I want to thank God for the one that has given me this ability. Now, if my teacher that taught me, my father, my mother, are they going to think in their minds, fool, I taught you. This is God. I taught you. Are they going to think that way?
Depends.
If they believed in like a deity.
Yeah.
Right. Wow, good. Because they know ultimately the core of the one that gave them the ability down the line to meet you and teach you is God. So that's what we mean by that. That's what God means by that. In any of his names and attributes. You're going to hear a lot of names and attributes of God. You're going to hear the name. This name is Al-Alim here, or Akram, Al-Karim. You ever heard the name Kareem? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? You ever heard the Skyhook? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? basketball player?
Yeah.
Kareem, Al-Kareem is the most generous. Right? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, before he became a Muslim, his name was Lou Alcindor. Then he became a Muslim. And he calls himself Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And Abd means slave, but Al-Jabbar means the one that has authority to make things happen without the influence of any of creation, for lack of better words. Okay? So here, he's the most akram, who taught by the pen. So he taught you that which you did not know. عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ. He taught him what he did not know. I'm going to tie this in, and then we're going to move on. Everyone with me? Now, what's the connection of this verse and verse number 2? Where's their connection? And I'm going to give you a hint. Dallas. That's my only hint. Right, and when you think about that connection, you'll be like, wow, okay. Dallas is the biggest hit in the room. We needed Dallas. Thank you, Dallas.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Hey, now he's crying. Okay, I'm not going to put you on the spot. Okay, I'm going to look over here. Okay, he's over like, leave me alone. It's a connection. Keep going. You're tight. Get a little looser. Okay, the loose is coming. You what? Say it again. And when you grow, you begin to, and it rhymes with grow.
Knowledge.
Yeah, I just wanted you to rhyme. It sounds a little cooler. Yeah, it's just gotta be cool. You know, I got grays here, but I'm still kind of cool, right? We're still. It's like whatever works, man. The more you grow, you what?
Know.
Zach has no idea that, Dallas has no idea I'm calling his name right now. No idea. Give him about 2 years. When I say Dallas, he's going to be like this. Right? Give him another couple years and say, Dallas, come here, man. You remember me? Uncle Abdullah. You're like, yeah, I remember you. Right? He'd be like, yeah, I remember you. Depending on the experience he had with me, he associated it. It becomes knowledge. You understand? That's why when he created you from a substance, as you grow, and that's why it's important for you always to remember where you came from. Remember that you did not, do not, and will not have ultimate what? And then you stop and ask yourself the question, like I asked my mother when Katrina happened, the Hurricane Katrina. I said, Mom, please, let me just ask you, Mom, sit down for a minute, Mom, please. Could Jesus have done that? Could Jesus have done that? Like, let's just forget Islam, forget Christianity. Just Jesus. Could Jesus have done that? Boy, don't put me in a corner. This verse is giving you the core. Who brought you here? Did Jesus bring you here? Jesus brought Abraham here, and Abraham was before Jesus. Right? Islam gives you the core. It doesn't give you any human being, any creation, none of that stuff. It says the one that did this is the one that I'm calling you to. And guess what, Muhammad? You're going to get many more of these revelations throughout the period of 23 years. Remember, these verses is a revelation. Right? This chapter is longer, but these first five verses were the verses that were given to him when he received the first revelation in his life. This is when he was chosen to be a prophet. 40 years before, age 1 to 39, or 40 in a couple months. He wasn't a prophet. He was just a righteous, good person. Why God chose Muhammad? Allah knows best. Right? But he chose him, and this is the first couple of verses that he mentioned to him. Okay? So that is marks the beginning of revelation, but I really want y'all to understand the technique used in the Quran. Because if you have the opportunity to learn Arabic language, you will enter a whole other realm of linguistic mastery. And that mastery represents a whole other world of understanding the wisdom of God. Like why he chose this verb over that verb. Okay? Like if you say, okay, I'm going to go, guys. All right, I'm going to head out. We understand the general meaning, right? But in Islam, those have two different meanings. If you use a different verb, they have the same general meaning, but it has a different expression. One opposed. English has it, but not to the level of Arabic or Hebrew or Aramaic, those three key languages, right? Anyone have any questions regarding that? So what we took from that slide roughly is very important, that the Prophet Muhammad received revelation at what age? 40. And he used to go to what cave? Hira. To do what? What's the word that they use nowadays? Meditate. He would go there to meditate. Oh, yeah, meditate, pray. Yeah. You said pray?
Did he pray?
Yeah. He would pray and call on God, you know, the Creator. And that's when God chose to send him the?
Revelation.
And the chapter that the first revelation was chapter number? 96. And God tells him to read or recite. And that recitation is the beginning of revelation, which marks the beginning of the revelation of the Quran. Okay? Now, Quran means that which was recited or revealed or read, all of it is one. Okay? Because the connotation in English is different slightly than Arabic. Quran comes from qara'a, which means to read or to recite. Okay? This is not that important, but I want you to understand Quran. Somebody says, Quran, what does that mean? Right? It means recitation or reading. But in the Arabic language, it's all kind of one. Because if we get real etymological, like the breakdown of the verb, you'll appreciate it, because generally you appreciate it. Now, every word in Arabic is derived, taken from a verb. Okay? So the word in Arabic here is what? What's it called? What's this called again? Quran. Okay? That comes from read, qara'a. Qara'a doesn't only mean read. It literally means putting things together. Because when you read, what are you putting together? If we even want to be a little more specific, what are you putting together?
Letters?
Yeah. Letters, words, paragraphs, pages, books. Right? The word Bible comes from what? Biblios. Biblios. When you read a research paper, what do you read at the end? Bibliography. Right? What you have put together in order to write that paper. Quran, if you want to explain it to someone, it's the same general concept. If they ask, I'm just letting you, so you can understand. Quran comes from that. So it's a gathering of words and chapters and things that are later recited. Everyone got that? Yes, no, maybe so? I think there's a guest here. Right? So that is the meaning of the word Quran. Okay. Does anyone have any questions regarding that? Can you ask any relevant questions? Of course not. Yes, you can, of course.
Okay, so the Quran, it talks about basically the prophets that came before Jesus. Yeah.
Okay.
So it taught me about Mary and Jesus and all the prophets, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then when I came to read the Quran, the stories that they taught me in the Catholic school,
uh-huh.
they were also in the Quran. So I kind of like relate, like, oh, I know this story. But let's say I never attended a Catholic school, I didn't have no knowledge.
Mm-hmm. How would you accept?
Mm-hmm. Like if I didn't have no knowledge.
Uh-huh.
The Quran talks about like part of like Moses.
Uh-huh.
Like a journey.
Uh-huh.
Like a little bit.
Uh-huh.
From what I was taught.
Uh-huh.
Imagine I didn't know anything. How would I connect those thoughts together? I don't know how I'm explaining myself.
Because it's scattered in the Quran, you're saying? Right.
Every prophet throughout the Quran, right?
Right.
But in the Bible, the school, it was like a whole story chapter.
Right. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Right. She's asking the question, like in the Bible, the story of Moses or stories of Moses will all be one story in one chapter written, and the Quran is scattered.
Well, the Quran, it's of what they say, it's, you know, it's the final revelation, it's the final warning. So everything that's being said is... It's not Allah trying to be harsh. It's more of, it's like, I want you to be good. I want you to go throughout your life knowing that I created you, knowing that I want you to live an easy life, a happy life, and not to go through these hardships, not to go through every wrong turn, because this will be what happens. You'll go to hell or so forth. So in the end, the Quran is just that warning. You know, you're going to go back and you can read the Bible and you can read every book that's been written and you can get your knowledge from that. But the Quran is basically that. It's summed up of everything telling you, look, here it is.
Mm. Somewhat, yes. It's kind of an affirmation of what was mentioned in the past. And... I don't want to say a continuation, but it's more of an affirmation of what was mentioned. What you're particularly asking about is the technique in which the Quran relays these stories. Now, when Allah uses these stories and they're scattered throughout the Quran, it's more of Him using these stories to supplement a message. So whatever He gives you of Moses' story, of Abraham's story, of Idris' story, is that which is pertinent to the message that He wants to convey to you. Right? That's number one. Number two, from what we believe as Muslims and understand, previous scriptures that were there, there is truth in them, and there is that which may, from a reliability standpoint, be compromised. Right? Y'all follow me on that? So when we look at certain books and previous scriptures, we may believe that there's some compromise within them. Hence, the revelation and need for a final scripture to maintain the integrity of pristine, to be pristine and, let's say, unadulterated, for lack of better words, to ensure the fact that there is a message that has not been changed or altered. Okay? Because when we see throughout history, even throughout history, and we could talk about this, actually the how the Quran was gathered, right? When we look at previous scriptures, you will see the gathering of those scriptures due to certain things that happened in the past. We even have certain versions of them, right? Have you ever asked your questions, why are there certain versions and certain names such as King James and things of these nature? Who is he? And why is his name on a holy book? What took place in history that caused his name to be on that holy book? What needs or means of power that wanted to be obtained and maintained? Was anything compromised within that struggle or within that method of the process of the scripture? So yes, there will be in the Quran affirmatively. It says, there are some truth in the previous books and some falsehood. Right? So when we, for instance, when I talk to my mom about stories in the Bible and things of that nature, some of the conversation will be, yes, okay, that was in the scripture, yes, yes. And then I'll say, oh no, we don't believe that. Yes, we believe that, for instance, Jesus was healed the dead. Allah says, right? He says, if you were to be someone that brings the dead to life. But if you notice in the Quran, when he mentions it, after every miracle of Jesus, he says, bi'idhni, with my permission. When you heal the lepers, with my permission. When you bring the dead to life, with my permission. When you do this, with my permission. Which brings a very, very important principle about what we just talked about. It brings you the core of the matter. That everything goes back to the Creator. That the Creator is, without the Creator's authority, it wouldn't happen. So why do we go to creation when the Creator is the one that gives full authority? So these stories that you're talking about with Moses and Abraham, like, and there's a chapter where Abraham built the Kaaba with his son Ismail, you know, where he talks about Isaac as well, when he talks about Jesus, right? All for specific messages. And yes, it does come scattered. But the scattering is for you to, God is trying to bring a message towards you as opposed to just bringing the whole story. Good question.